KU4RMM Mobile.
KU4RMM, W4DJW. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Taking a break. I was doing some CGI scripting, and I heard you in there, I decided I'd push back and take a break for a few minutes. I've been studying on the same problem for about an hour now, so that means I need to step back away from it and then hit it again. What you up to?
Around their wife. We are presently at Brushy Creek Veterinary picking up some overpriced dog food.
No, I can copy that. I got a cat I got to do that for. She's got one of those bladder infections. And now for the rest of her life, she has to eat the $59 a bag cat food rather than the $15 a bag cat food.
Dogs, we have no children, two dogs, and veterinary care and food is the second largest budget item for us behind our own medication.
Yeah, they're your babies. With all the kids moved out, with the empty nest here, the dog and the cat become the new babies. I know exactly what you're talking about. And they are expensive. She's got, if that thing doesn't dissolve in the next 30 days, then that's a $1,500 vet bill to cut her open and take it out.
Hey, it's just nice to get out on a pretty day, driving around a little bit. This makes the second nice day in a row we've had. But I'm sure, as I was just mentioning to my wife, that we're notorious for having some late winter, early spring polar rushes through here to pretty much kill off all the early budding trees and flowers.
That's true. I think I've seen it snow as late as May, maybe even June, but I'm pretty sure May. We got snow one year. How long have you been in this area?
Here about 47 years, so I'm just getting to know my way around.
So you remember the 18 inches back in the 80s, then? That one snow we had that one morning that snowed up to 18 inches. What was that, 87? Something like that? Do you remember it?
I do. I couldn't tell you the exact year, but I do distinctly remember that prolific snow. That's back when the snow was fun and it meant school was canceled. And it was met with positive hope and much welcome from teenagers.
I was thinking that was late in the winter, early in the spring, but I'm not 100% sure. I just know I had a 28-mile ride I had to get home from Michelin after working third shift. 28 miles from Donaldson Center up to near where Tom lives, right up the road from where Tom lives, and I made it within a mile of the house. And the 59 Chevrolet pickup, the snow was over the bumper on it, and it was plowing that road, brown road. It was plowing. I was the first one to go across it because I was coming home from third shift. Nobody got up and left that morning, and I was plowing me a path through that road, and it got to a point when I went to the bottom of the hill, I started coming back up the hill, and it said, no way, you're going to have to walk the rest of the way home. So I made it 27 and a half of about 28-mile ride coming home in the snow.
For sure, 87, that made, I was a freshman in high school at Eastside High School.
I was out of Eastside High School by about a decade at that time. Graduated there in 76, so it was a little over a decade. And that was about the same time I decided enough of this working third shift, I'm going back to school.
Shift for about 8.5 years in my former career, and I determined it was not generally good for your health, at least not good for my health. I got a transitory case of high blood pressure, which I've since gotten rid of, and some other complications. And I said I paid my dues, enough was enough, and I took the first opportunity towards day shift.
Yeah, 8 years is a long time. I was 6 years into it when I decided that's enough. Enough is enough. And I'm glad. I wish it would have been sooner, but I'm glad at least I got out of it by that time. It was fun, though. I was young. I could handle it. I had a pattern for when to go to bed and when to get up. The only downside, the only hard part about it for me was 5 o'clock in the morning every single morning. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I got so sleepy I couldn't stand it. I had to get up and go for a walk.
Was just timing my caffeine intake just right to get me through that last 3 or 4 hours, but not so much as I couldn't sleep when I went home.
You ever fall asleep at a red light on the way home?
No. However, I almost died falling asleep at the wheel on Highway 19 just east of Cherokee about 15 years ago. I had just finished about 10 hours on the river trout fishing alone, and I didn't realize how tired waiting those rivers made me.
Well, I did it one time. I might have worked a double shift or something like that, and it was early in the morning. I was coming down 291 to Wade Hampton, where 291 and Wade Hampton joined right there at Red Lobster at Wade Hampton High School. And I was waiting on 291 to turn right onto Wade Hampton and come down toward Greer, and fell asleep. My foot on the brake, the light was red, the car behind me honked the horn, and I woke up. I didn't know if I'd been there 5 minutes or 5 hours. Scared the bejesus out of me. Never did that again.
In fear, on Highway 19, I was doing 65 miles an hour, which was about matching traffic, but I was fighting it and rolling down my window, turning up the radio, all of the urban myths about keeping yourself awake, and 19 turns left, kind of did a curve to the left and down, and I kept going straight, and I ended up, what woke me up was the vibration of me careening through the grass median, my life flashed before me, and I sat there for about 15 minutes with a death grip on the steering wheel after finally bringing the car to a stop.
That does sound scary. That'll get you awake for the rest of the ride home. Well, at least hopefully you didn't break anything underneath the car. I used to do that coming home from Charlotte a lot, too. I'd work late, and it'd be dark by the time I'd be on my way home. And I did exactly what you were saying. I rolled the windows down. It didn't matter if it was freezing outside. I'd roll the windows all the way down, turn the music all the way up, and sing along with the music just to keep from falling asleep. Did that for 10 years.
Once I regained my faculties after that, I nursed the car back onto the highway and took the very next exit, which was Clyde, North Carolina, and I pulled right into a diner and drank a pot of coffee. Took my time.
And regained your composure, I'm sure. Kind of hard to drive when your hands are shaking on the wheel.
If I was a smoker, I probably would have smoked a carton.
It reminds me of this one time getting off work at Michelin, coming up Donaldson, up 25. When you leave Michelin at Donaldson Center and you go right on 25 to go north toward Greenville, it's a long straightaway. And there was this other fellow that worked with me there, and we both rode motorcycles. And we made that ride on the 25, and we let him roll. And he noticed he was faster than me. He had a bigger bike than I did. I had like a 600. He had like 1,000 or more. And he noticed in his rearview mirror my headlight quivering back and forth. And when we got stopped, he pulled me over to the side, and he said, "When you're going that fast, your adrenaline is pumping, really pumping, and you can see that in your hands." And he said, "I could see it in your headlight. What you need to do is loosen your grip on the handlebars and let your hands shake, but still touch the handlebars. So you can be shaking, but don't shake the bike." He was right, absolutely right. I I learned from him. I mean, that's, once that adrenaline gets flowing, there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Absolutely true. That's an adrenergic nervous system kicking in there. That's involuntary.
Well, I won't keep you. I just heard you in there and needed to take a break. I'm going to hit this thing again and see if I can figure out how to get this alias to work inside an Apache configuration. It's not working. Anyway, Kirk, good talking to you. KO4RMM, W4DJW.
KO4DJW is KO4RMM 73 and clear.
For DJW4FHJ.
Hey, Gene, I was going to try to get with you on the net tonight. Are you going to be on 6-1 in the morning on your way there?
I very well can be. We're supposed to meet. I just got off the phone with Jack Dorn. He's the honcho that got me, engaged me to put this radio in. He's going to be there at 9 o'clock, so that's the set time. And I can call you if you like.
I'm pretty sure I know where it is. I used to live over in that area, so I just plan on talking to you on the radio on the way over there. If I get lost, I'll have you on the radio.
Okay, that'll be fine. I'll holler at you, but just in case something crazy happens that my radio doesn't work, which I don't have any idea that it would not. But anyway, it is. Gallery Shopping Center, and that's right actually next door to Texas Roadhouse.
Okay, I looked on Google Maps. I looked on Google Maps. I thought it was up there by Aldi's. I guess it's further on down and up the other side, because you're starting to go up the other side. So what's the name of the shopping center?
Gallery Shopping Center. But yeah, it's, let's see, I know where Aldi's is, yeah, but it's between Aldi's and Texas Roadhouse. So if you're going sort of downhill, going toward Greer, you pass Aldi's, and then a little bit further will be the shopping center. And, then another 100 feet or so would be Texas Roadhouse.
Is it post 214? I got it on Google Maps right now. I think that's it.
Did you ask me?
Is it post number 214? American Legion post 214, Cecil D. Buchanan. Is that the name of it?
214, yeah.
Okay, I know exactly where it is. I shouldn't have any problem. It's on the, if you're facing that from Wade Hampton, facing that shopping center from Wade Hampton, it's on the left.
Right on the left edge of the shopping center.
And where's this antenna going up? Is it behind it in the woods or where?
Well, it's going on the side of the building, the side all the way to the left, and there's a driveway going right by that wall. We're going to mount it on the wall. I got all the mounting stuff and everything. It's a block wall. Concrete block wall.
Do I need to bring a drill and lag bolts or anything? I probably don't need to bring my big slingshot, do I?
Oh, no. That's the second phase. because when I get this pipe up, then sometime later, at first we're just going to be on VHF and UHF, but then as soon as I can a little bit later, I'm going to put an HF rig in there. And so there's plenty of woods there we can shoot something over, but that's for later, not now.
Yeah, there's a lot of woods going down through there behind all those houses on behind Fairhaven, between Fairhaven and U.S. Energy Solution. There's a lot of woods. You could run a really long wire, like a long Windham out through there, or in-fed SEP.
Good thing at all. I got everything we'd need, unless I've overlooked something, but I don't think I've I've been too careful about it. So, no, just bring yourself.
All right, sounds good. I'll see you there, 9 o'clock, bright and early, tomorrow morning.
That's affirmative, and I got other help, too. I got my grandson, he's 17, and his friend is about the same age. So they're going to be there just as grunts, you know. Okay, I'll see you in the morning. I appreciate it, David. I sure do. W4FHJ will be clear.
All right, Gene. Talk to you later. Or see you in the morning. W4FHJ, W4DJW clear.
KB4CBA mobile.
Hey, David. What you so happy about?
Really, it was more of a trial and error thing, and it became an error thing. But hey, nothing ventured, nothing gained. That's what I always say.
All right. Well, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
How many times did it take Thomas Edison to invent the light bulb? Wasn't it over 100 times that he tried?
Yeah, it was way over that. Alexander Graham Bell, too, for creating communication across the line. It took him a lot of times, too. I think the light bulb was like all kinds of different metals and hair and fiber until he came up with tungsten.
I bet tungsten went up in price. Well, anyway, so they, however many times it took them, they said, oh, so you failed this many times. And he said, no, I just learned how not to make a light bulb that many times.
That's part of it. You can't find a solution until you can defining the problem is 50% of the solution.
Well, I guess it's like, being a alcoholic or a drug addict or anything like that. You've got the first step is admitting that you are one.
Yeah, that's the discovery phase. Anyway, I'll let you go. I just figured I'd jump in there and see what you were so happy about. You sound like you had all kind of enthusiasm when you threw your call out there.
I remember at my daughter's house, my youngest daughter, trying to fix a recliner. I've never worked on a recliner. And it has those springs in the seat, and a couple of the springs have let go. And, I thought I'd go over there and reconnect them, and all would be fine, but... Man, those springs are unbelievable. They've got some tension on them, like a spring a strut spring on a car. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's like, and they don't want to lay out straight. They once you take them off the chair, they curve in a U shape. And so I thought, well, I'll just stretch it out a little bit, and reattach it. Well, that's not going to happen because you got to take the whole chair apart to reattach them. So that's my next thing is I'll stretch the two springs and then I'll have to go over there and take the chair apart to put them back in.
Okay, well, good luck with that. That sounds like a lot of trouble. There is an upholstery shop up there on White Hampton, by the way, right across the street from like Chick Springs exit. Anyway, take care. Be safe. W4DJW. I'm going to go back into working on my program.
Knock yourself out. And, I'll take on anything. I mean, I wouldn't do this with just anybody. 73 KV4 CBA mobile.